Welcome, deep divers. Let's set the scene for a moment. Picture a huge warehouse. You know, a real ballet of logistics happening. Boxes moving, shelves getting stocked, everything's just humming along, almost silent. Really organized, really efficient. Now, what's the power behind all this? Often it's the, well, the electric forklift. And more specifically, that humble but absolute vital component, the forklift battery.
That's such a critical point because, you know, without that battery, the whole operation just stops. Dead halt, that quiet operation, the sustainability everyone talks about, the sheer productivity boost from electric, it really does all boil down to the battery keeping things moving. I've seen it myself, warehouses going from noisy, fume-filled places to, like, library quiet. It's quite the transformation.
It really is. And that perfectly sets up why we're doing this deep dive today. We're unpacking forklift batteries and their maintenance. Our mission here is simple: give you a straightforward, no-nonsense guide, a shortcut, really, to understanding these absolutely essential power sources. We've pulled together a pretty comprehensive guide focusing on the key stuff, different battery types, their specific charging needs, and crucially, the maintenance practices you have to know.
Exactly. And it's not just tech specs for the sake of it. This genuinely matters.
Yeah.
Electric forklifts, they're fundamental to modern logistics now. They're quiet, sustainable, often more cost-effective than, say, propane. But, and this is the big, but their performance, how long they last, your whole return on investment, it all hangs on understanding and really meticulously maintaining those batteries.
Absolutely. The battery is the heart, no question. So to really get a handle on this, we need to sort of map out the main players. When we talk forklift batteries, there's essentially a big three dominating the market, each with its own quirks.
That's right. We're mainly looking at lithium ion, absorbed glass mat, people usually call it AGM, and then the traditional lead acid batteries.
Yeah.
Now, they all do the same basic job power for the forklift, need regular charging. But the really interesting part, how different their maintenance needs are. And their costs, their performance, it varies a lot.
Okay, let's start with the one getting all the buzz right now, the modern powerhouse, lithium ion. We hear about it everywhere, phones, cars. What's the draw for forklifts in a tough warehouse setting?
Well, the real kicker, the sort of headline here, is the maintenance or lack thereof. Yes, the upfront cost for lithium ion can be higher, sometimes significantly higher. But what you're buying isn't just a battery. It's like a whole different operational model. They're essentially maintenance-free. No watering needed. No serviceable parts inside. Think about that. That cuts out daily tasks, saves labor time, boosts uptime. It's a game changer for productivity. Plus, they charge faster. And they're much lighter, maybe 12, 15 kilos, sometimes more.
Yeah.
Easier to handle. Typically, you find them in 6 or 12-volt versions.
Right. Maintenance-free, faster charging. That sounds pretty revolutionary, and my ears definitely perk up at that. But okay, let's talk reality. Heavy-duty logistics. What are the potential downsides, the things managers really need to weigh up?
Yeah, there are always trade-offs.
Yeah.
That high initial cost is, well, it's a big hurdle for many operations. And beyond cost, you need to be careful with them. They don't like high temperatures. Damage risk there. Also, and this is key, storing them fully charged for long periods can degrade them. That's a big one people miss. And like any powerful battery tech, if you handle or charge them improperly, there is a fire risk. So good safety procedures are still vital.
That's a really important point about storage. Okay, so for recharging lithium ion, what are the non-negotiables? The absolute must-dos for safety and battery health.
Precision is key. Always, always use the correct charger from a reputable source. Seems basic, but it's critical. Let the battery cool down after use before you plug it in for recharge. Don't charge it hot. And the charging location matters. It needs to be a hard, flat, stable surface. And well-ventilated. Heat needs to dissipate. And it should go without saying, but never try to use or recharge a battery that looks damaged or expose it to high heat. Also, power down the charging gear when it's not actually in use.
And you mentioned that really interesting detail. Never store lithium-ion batteries when fully charged. That feels, well, wrong compared to how we might treat our phones, right?
It feel counterintuitive, yeah.
Yeah.
But for long-term health and safety, it's vital.
Yeah.
If a lithium-ion forklift is going to sit idle for a while, you want it partially discharged, not topped up to 100%.
Yeah.
Maintenance, beyond charging, like we said, none needed, no user serviceable parts. If it needs replacing, you call a good vendor. Don't try to fix it yourself.
Okay, so lithium-ion is setting a high bar. But that investment, it's a big step. What about something that maybe offers some of those hands-off benefits, but without quite that initial price shock? That seems to be where the next one, AGM batteries, kind of fits in, the durable middle ground.
That's a good way to describe them. AGM, absorbed glass mat, The tech is pretty smart. They use plates and this special glass mat separator to hold the electrolyte. It's stored in a dry or a suspended state. So that immediately gets rid of the need for watering. Big plus. And no risk of liquid acid spills if the case gets damaged. They're pretty much maintenance-free and generally quite tough. A good balance, like you said, you'll see them in 6 or 12 volts too.
Yeah.
Weight-wise, they're somewhere between the light lithium ions and the heavy lead acids.
Okay. No watering, no acid spills, minimal maintenance. Sounds good. What about charging? Any advantages there?
Yes, definitely. AGMs generally offer high power output and a pretty quick recharge cycle. Get the right charger, and an AGM could charge maybe up to 5 times faster than a similar lead-acid battery. They also hold their charge well when they're not being used, and they don't need those booster charges to fight off sulfation, you know, that nasty crystal buildup that kills capacity. AGMs are less prone to that if idle, and connecting them up to recharge is usually pretty straightforward.
5 times faster charging. That's impressive. But, okay, where's the catch? There's always a catch.
Well, yeah. The main one is still cost. Their production cost is relatively high compared to lead acid. And also, their specific energy, basically the energy density, how much power they pack for their weight, isn't super high. What that means in practice is, under pretty heavy use in a busy warehouse, they can run down relatively quickly. The source material even mentioned they can get naggered or fatigued faster than other types if you push them really hard constantly. So yeah, fast charging is great, but you might find yourself doing it more often in demanding shifts.
Knackered. That definitely paints a picture. So for recharging AGM, what are the best practices? How do you avoid wearing them out too fast?
The absolute golden rule: do not overcharge them. Overcharging seriously shortens their life. It's critical. For best results, the idea is to cycle them, use them down to maybe 50% capacity, then give them a full recharge. It's also just a reality that even with perfect charging, AGMs will start to lose some charging capacity after a few years. It's just how they age.
And maintenance-wise, beyond charging, they're still fairly low effort.
Pretty much, yeah. Minimal upkeep needed. That remains a big part of their appeal, definitely.
Okay, so we've covered the modern options. Let's rewind a bit. Back to the foundation, the workhorse. Lead-acid batteries. These have been the standard for ages, and they're still the most common type out there, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The oldest tech and still the most widely used in forklifts. These are the wet cell batteries. They've got that liquid mix inside sulfuric acid and water that stores the energy, and they are heavy. Easily 30 kilos, often much more. Definitely need proper equipment to handle them, like the others, mostly 6 or 12 volt configurations.
And that liquid mixture, I'm guessing that's where the intensive part of maintenance comes in.
You guessed it. That afterwater solution, the electrolyte, is effective, but it has risks. If the case cracks, it can leak, causing damage and safety hazards. And crucially, they need regular watering. You have to keep those electrolyte levels topped up. That means specialized equipment, trained staff, proper procedures. It's a whole process. But here's the strategic angle. Mm-hmm. While they demand a lot of maintenance, if you do maintain them properly, lead-acid batteries can last for years. And they're generally the cheapest option to buy up front. So that lower initial cost keeps them very relevant, despite the extra work.
Okay, maintenance intensive is definitely the key phrase. Let's break down the recharging specifics for lead acid. What are the absolute do's and don'ts?
Right. Several critical points for keeping them healthy. First, avoid short cycling. That means pulling them off the charger before they hit 100%. Short cycling causes problems down the line. So aim for a full charge whenever possible. Also, if a battery gets deeply discharged, charge it immediately. Don't let it sit empty. That prevents sulfation, those crystals forming on the plates, which kills capacity and runtime. And a key rule, never let a lead-acid battery discharge more than 80%. Aim to recharge when it hits 20% remaining. That's a good target.
So consistent planned charging is really vital for these?
Exactly. Routine charging on a set schedule. Ideally daily for regularly used forklifts. Always use the right size charger. Approved by the manufacturer. That's important. And remember ventilation. Lift the battery compartment hood during charging. Gases are released. Safety point. Always turn the charger off before you disconnect the cables. Prevent sparks, potential injuries. And try to control the temperature in the charging area. Around 25 degrees Celsius, 77 Fahrenheit, is ideal for longevity. A full recharge usually takes about 10 hours.
10 hours for a full charge. Okay, that definitely creates challenges for places running multiple shifts, doesn't it? How do they manage that?
It takes careful planning. Often, warehouses running 24/7 need extra batteries, maybe a dedicated battery room, sophisticated rotation systems. The goal is to manage the fleet, so you use batteries down to that 20-30% level, then swap them onto a charger for a full, uninterrupted 10-hour charge cycle. It's definitely a balancing act. keeping operations running smoothly while also treating the batteries right to maximize their lifespan.
Okay, lead acid equals maintenance intensive. Can you give us a quick summary of what that really means in practice for day-to-day work and protecting that investment?
Well, it starts with basics. Follow the manufacturer's instructions to the letter. Charging gear, handling, charge cycles, and keeping good records is smart. Maintain a logbook for all battery maintenance, watering, charging, checks. That log can be incredibly useful for tracking battery health, spotting problems early, and even for warranty claims down the road.
And the big one, watering. You said it's a whole process. Tell us more.
It really is critical for performance, and it needs trained people. You can't just have anyone doing it. Schedule checks weekly, or maybe after every 5 full charge cycles. It needs a trained tech. And personal protective equipment, PPE, is non-negotiable. Gloves, proper eye protection, steel-toed boots. You're dealing with acid. Now, timing is important. Check the water levels after the battery is fully charged and has had a little time to cool, not before charging. Then you fill each cell carefully. Usually the recommendation is about 6-7 millimeters, maybe a quarter inch, below the bottom of the vent well or fill hole. That leaves space for the liquid to expand during charging and use, preventing spills. After watering, you typically give it an equalization charge. This is a controlled overcharge, basically, to help mix the water and acid properly and balance the cells. And the water itself needs to be right. Use distilled or deionized water. Tap water has minerals that harm the battery. The ideal pH is usually between 5 and 7, slightly acidic to neutral. But always check the specific battery's documentation.
Wow, okay. That is detailed. Really shows why training is essential. What about monthly checks? What should a technician be doing then?
Yeah, once a month is good practice for a deeper check by a qualified tech. They should use a hydrometer. This tool measures the specific gravity of the electrolyte in each cell when the battery is fully charged. It's a key health indicator. A common target reading might be around 1.285, but again, check the manual for that specific battery model. Consistency is key. That monthly check is also the perfect time to give the cables and connectors a close look. Check for burning, pitting, any corrosion. And finally, wipe down the battery case. Use a proper battery cleaning solution, one that neutralizes any spilled acid residue. Keeps things clean and safe.
That's a serious regimen. It really drives home the maintenance intensive label. All this talk of acid, heavy weights, high currents, it naturally leads to safety, doesn't it? What are the absolute core safety tips everyone needs to remember, no matter which type of battery they're using?
Absolutely critical point, because regardless of the industry using them, these batteries can be hazardous if not handled correctly. Anyone moving, lifting, charging, cleaning, or servicing these batteries needs to be extremely cautious.
So apart from whatever site-specific rules are in place, what are the universal must-dos for safety?
Okay, number one, proper PPE, always. Acid-resistant gloves, safety glasses or face shield, steel-toed boots. No shortcuts. Second, have safety equipment ready and accessible right near the charging area, first aid kit, a working sink, and critically, an eyewash station. Third, lifting. These things are heady, especially lead acid. Use proper lifting equipment, hoists, battery carts. Never, ever try to lift one by hand. Fourth, condition checks. Never put a battery back into service if it has frayed cables, a cracked case, or obvious heavy corrosion. Take it out of service. Fifth, storage environment. Avoid storing batteries in places that get extremely hot or extremely cold. Temperature matters. And finally, perspective. They rarely explode if they're properly maintained and used. But mishandling, poor maintenance, dangerous servicing attempts, that's when the risks increase significantly.
That's a very sobering but necessary reminder. Okay, to pull all this great info together for our listeners, can we maybe summarize with a simple, actionable 5-step checklist, something to help maintain batteries and protect that investment?
Yeah, we can boil it down. 5 key actions. 1, charge through correctly. Wait until it's down to that 10-20% range, then charge it fully. Use the right charger settings. Consistency is key.
Okay, charge correctly. Got it. Next.
2, check fluid. This is specifically for lead acid, obviously. Do this regularly, maybe every 2 or 3 charges. Don't wait for the monthly check.
Right. Check fluid often for lead acid and that equalization charge.
That's number 3, equalization. Schedule this regularly for lead acid to knock off those sulfate crystals. Weekly for heavy use. Maybe monthly if it's only light use.
Okay. Number 4.
4. Monitor temperatures. Know the recommended operating temps for your specific batteries. Check them after charging. Check them during use. Overheating shortens life dramatically.
Makes sense. And the final step.
5. Clean monthly. Dirt, dust, spilled electrolyte, it all builds up. Wipe the battery down monthly with warm water and a proper battery cleaner or neutralizer. Stick to those five, and you'll definitely help extend battery life.
Fantastic. That's a great practical takeaway. Now let's quickly tackle a few common questions people often ask about forklift batteries. First up, the big one. How long do they actually last?
Well, if they're well looked after, they can last for years. Lead acid often gives you 3 to 5 years, maybe more. That translates to around 1,600 charge cycles. So if you charge it once a day, that's well over 4 years right there. Lithium ion often lasts even longer.
And what about cost? What's a typical price range?
Oh, it varies hugely. You might find some starting around 150 pounds, but they can easily go up to 400 pounds, 500 pounds, or even much more depending on the size, capacity, and especially the type. Generally speaking, lead acid will have the lowest upfront purchase price.
Can you actually overcharge a forklift battery?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's surprisingly easy to overcharge a lead acid battery if your charger isn't set correctly or malfunctions, and that does serious damage. Lithium ion batteries usually have built-in management systems to prevent gross overcharging, but constantly keeping them at 100% isn't ideal for their long-term health either.
And back to lead acid, how often should you typically be watering them?
The general guideline is approximately every 5 charging cycles. But it depends on usage and environment, so regular checks are better than just guessing. It's vital upkeep.
This has been incredibly thorough, a real deep dive into the hidden power sources driving so much of modern logistics.
It really has. And hopefully it's clear that by, you know, really understanding these different types, lithium ion, AGM, lead acid, and then being diligent about the right charging and maintenance, you're doing more than just making batteries last longer. You're protecting a significant investment. You're keeping your whole operation running smoothly, efficiently. It's actually amazing how much science and care goes into something people might just see as a big, heavy box.
It really is. You know, it strikes me how often it's the smallest or maybe the least glamorous component that dictates the success of a really complex system. We've definitely seen how things like workload, charging routine, the price point, how much they differ between battery types. It really underscores that there's no single best battery. Mm. The right choice truly depends on the specific rhythm and demands of your warehouse. It's not one size fits all at all. And that brings us to a final thought, something for you, our listener, to consider. Given these trade-offs we've discussed, the upfront cost versus the ongoing maintenance, the performance differences, how might the incredibly rapid evolution we're seeing in battery technology, how might that reshape the actual design of forklifts in the future, and maybe even reshape warehouse logistics as a whole? Something to think about as you look at your own operations.